I want you to turn with me just for the moment to the book of Exodus, chapter 5. In Exodus, the 5th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Now, here's my subject this morning while you're turning to the book of Exodus, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I'll be speaking on this subject. How can a man find God? How can a man find God? It says in Exodus 5, and Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Who is the Lord? Now, perhaps Pharaoh was speaking in total honesty. He was a great man, as pharaohs and worldly leaders go. He had a lot of power. He was the king over perhaps the richest nation in the world. And when Moses came to him and said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that Pharaoh should obey his voice? I know not the Lord. Who is this Lord? That's what I want to consider this morning. That's the question I want to deal with. Who is the Lord God? Who is the Lord God, and how does a man find God? Now, you may think it's strange, but I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Psalm, chapter 19. Now, many preachers, when they want to talk about who God is and how does a man find God, they ask you to go to the book of John or some other New Testament book, or perhaps one of the four Gospels. But I'm asking you to go to Psalm 19. Now, this psalm was written by David. David knew the Lord. In fact, twice the Lord called David a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. Now, David, a man after God's own heart, knew God. He knew God, and I'm certain he knew God. He wrote the hymn book of the church. He wrote the whole book of Psalms with the exception of just a few. And here in the book of Psalms, you have the twofold answer to that question. How does a man find God? How does a man find God? Who is the Lord God, and how does a man find God? And here in Psalm 19, you have a twofold answer to that question. There are two books in which you can find a revelation of the living God, and they're given here in Psalm 19. Will you turn to Psalm 19? There are two books. First of all, there's the book of creation. There's the book of nature. David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's how a man can know God. He can know God by observing the heavens, by observing the things that are made, by observing nature, by observing creation. That's exactly what it says. We can find God in the book of creation. God reveals himself in the book of creation. And the second answer is this. In Psalm 19, verse 7, David said, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There you have a twofold answer to that question. How does a man find God? An honest, sincere person. And perhaps Pharaoh was sincere. Perhaps he was totally honest. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord. How does a man find God? How does a man find the true and living God? I'm not just talking about finding a God. There are gods everywhere. There are gods many and lords many. I'm talking about the living God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 17, eternal life is to know the true and living God. And then David said, as the thirsty deer panteth for the water brook, so panteth my soul for thee, the living God. How does a man find the living God? Well, let's look. Let's look first of all at the book of creation. Read Psalm 19 there, verse 1. The heavens, the universe, the heaven of heavens declare. They declare. They speak. The heavens speak. Did you ever hear the heavens speak? Well, the heavens do speak. And the heavens have a message, and they declare something. What do the heavens declare? They declare the glory of God. The heavens literally declare the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of His power, the glory of His wisdom, the glory of His majesty, and the glory of His greatness. The firmament showeth His handiwork. What's the firmament? Well, the firmament's the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the rain, the snow, the seasons. All the marvels of creation declare the glory of God, reveal the glory of God. These things didn't just happen. These things, these precision made and precision directed, stars and moons and planets and the whole universe, out yonder light years and many galaxies. These things did not just happen. They were created by an all-wise, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And these heavens and heaven of heavens declare, sing forth the praises of Him who made them and declare the glory of Him who made them, so that we're without excuse. We have a message from the heavens. How can a man know God? The heavens declare God and His glory. Paul said in Romans 1, 19 and 20, that which may be known of God is manifest to all men, for God hath showed it to them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. And we are accountable and responsible for what the heavens declare. That's what he's saying right here. Acts 14, 17. Listen to this verse. Listen carefully. The Lord hath not left Himself without a witness. Acts 14, 17. In that He did good and gave us rain from heaven, and He gave us fruitful seasons, and He filled our hearts with food and gladness, and we're responsible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. The heavens declare the glory, the power, the majesty, the omnipotence, the wisdom. They declare the wisdom of God. Look at verse 2, Psalm 19. Day unto day uttereth speech. In other words, throughout the day, as the sun shines and as the rain falls and as the flowers grow, and as the trees grow, and the fruits and the vegetables come forth, day after day, God speaks. And in the night season, He showeth knowledge. Nighttime, as the world rests, and the moon shines in a reflected glory of the sun, and the stars give forth their light, God speaks of Himself, even in the nighttime. Listen to this. There is no speech or language. How many speeches or languages do you suppose are on this earth? 2,000 or 3,000? I'm talking about different languages, you know, French and Spanish and German and Russian and English and all. But wait a minute, I'm talking about all the languages and speeches of the tribes in India and tribes in Africa and the tribes in different countries of the world. All these different tribes in Alaska, the Eskimos and the Indians in America. What about all these languages and all these different tongues and dialects that are spoken all over the world, thousands of them probably? It says there's no speech or language where the voice of creation is not heard. You see that right there in Psalm 19? Verse 3, there is no speech. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day and night unto night it showeth knowledge, and there's no speech. There's no tribe, there's no nation, there's no kindred, there's no tongue under heaven where creation does not declare the glory of God. The voice of creation has gone throughout all the earth to every human being on the earth so that they're without excuse. How does a man find God? God's everywhere. And the things God has made glorify God. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord. I sing the goodness of God that filled the earth with food. He formed the creature by his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the ground upon which I walk or gaze up into the sky, there's not a plant or a flower below, but makes thy glory known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by orders from your sovereign throne. Look at verse 4. In the heavens, God hath made a tabernacle for the sun. The sun is the center of the universe. He said, as a bridegroom goeth forth, as a strong man goeth forth, nothing is hid from the heat thereof and from the light of the sun. The sun is the center of the universe. It reflects the power and the wisdom of Almighty God. And let me tell you something. As men behold these things that are made, these things that declare the glory of God, as men behold the heavens and the earth and all that God has created in His bountiful mercy and in His infinite wisdom, my friend, listen to me, I wouldn't offend you, but only a fool could possibly say there is no God. Only a fool. While the book of creation reveals to any honest heart the reality of God, these things did not just happen. They didn't just come into being. In Him we live and move and have our being, and by Him all things consist and are held together. The heavens and the firmament and the earth and creation shows His power and wisdom and His majesty and His greatness. So how can a man find God? First, in the book of creation. Look around you, and you'll be amazed at the wonders of God's creation. David even talked about his own body and said, how wonderfully I'm made, how wonderfully I'm put together. But there are questions about God which cannot be answered by creation. There are questions about God that the heavens and the firmament and the earth cannot deal with and cannot answer. For example, try these. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You won't find the answer to that in creation, or by gazing at the stars or the moon or the sun or the trees or the flowers. Try this question. How can man that's born of a woman be clean in the eyes of God? How can man be just with God? Behold, the moon, it shineth not, the stars are not pure in God's sight. How much less man that is a worm? Man that drinketh iniquity like the water. You won't find that answer, the answer to that question in creation. Try this question. O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? We can't find the answer to that question. Who shall stand in his presence? If a man die, the book of Job says, shall he live again? How about that question? God is life, and we're dead, dying men. God is light, and we walk in darkness. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, and we are sinful. Wilt thou, O Lord, look upon such a one? Stars, tell me. Trees, flowers that bloom, heavens, firmament, no answer comes forth. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be justified? What must I do to be accepted of God? The heavens are silent. Oh, the heavens declare the glory of God, but not His redemptive glory. The glory of His wisdom and the glory of His power and the glory of His majesty, but not His redemptive glory. The heavens say nothing about redemption, nothing about life, death, judgment, heaven or hell, or atonement or substitution or satisfaction. Stand all your lifetime and gaze upon nature and gaze upon the book of creation, and you'll never find the answer to these questions. How can a man find God's grace? How can a man find God's mercy? How can a man find redemption? Well, you have to go someplace else other than creation. Tell you where you have to go, and there's only one place, and that's to the Word of God. And this is what David says in Psalm 19 after talking about the revelations of the book of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day showeth knowledge. Night unto night speaketh. There's not a speech or a language or a tribe where their voice is not heard. And the sun goeth forth as in a tabernacle, as a strong man, a bridegroom, running a race. Nothing is hid from the heat thereof. But then David comes back with this, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. Now, heavens and creation can convert the mind into thinking upon God, into considering God, into facing the reality of God. But the word of God converts the soul. If I want to know how a man can know God in redemption, if I want to know how a man can approach the living God, if I want to know how a man can be forgiven of sin and have fellowship with this God who is real, then I have to go to the word of God. That's the only source. And I'm not talking about going to men and finding out what God says. I'm not talking about going to men and finding out their opinion of what God says. I'm talking about personally, individually, going to the word of God. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," and the Master speaks, "he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." In John 20:31, the Apostle John wrote, These words are written, that you might believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. My friend, I read in the word of God how that God created man in his own image. That's what the Bible says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he made man. Male and female created he them. In his own image created he them. He created them holy and upright, but man sought out many inventions. And I read in the word of God how that man fell, how that Adam sinned and disobeyed God, and how that death and darkness and judgment passed upon all men because all sinned. In Adam we died. In Adam, death and judgment and condemnation passed upon us. And I read in God's word how that the Lord God purposed to have a people. How that the Lord God made an everlasting covenant in which he gave to his Son a people. And he said heaven will be populated. Heaven will be populated by a holy people. And all of those holy people, those peculiar people, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, shall be redeemed by the blood of my Son, and they shall all be predestined to be just like Christ, conformed to his blessed image. I read in the word of God how that God made a covenant. He said, "I'll make a covenant with them after those days. I'll put my law in their minds and in their hearts. I'll take away their transgressions, and I'll forgive their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more." I read in the word of God how that the prophecies and promises and pictures in the Old Testament show forth the coming Christ, the coming Messiah, the coming substitute, the coming great high priest, the coming sin offering, our Redeemer. I read in the book of Matthew 1:21, how that he came into this world through the virgin's womb. And the angel said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Because it's written in the prophets, behold, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou call his name Emmanuel, God with us." God with us. I read that in the word of God. I read how he lived on this earth, born of a woman, grew up in a carpenter's shop, walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem and Jericho and Capernaum and Bethsaida, and lived a perfect life. A perfect life. He obeyed every law, every Levitical law, every moral law, every judicial law, every civil law, and every law of the home. He never offended God. "This is my beloved Son," the Father said, "in whom I'm well pleased." The Son thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father. And he said, "He that has seen me has seen God. I and my Father are one." The God-man walked on this earth. And in him I have a perfect righteousness. Because he was tempted and tried as we are, yet without sin, he worked out in his life a perfect obedience and gave unto God a perfect righteousness on behalf of his people. By man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. In Adam we died, in Christ we're made alive. As we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. I read that in God's Word. I read how he went to the cross, and there he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. I read how that this one man, with a perfect sacrifice and atonement and a perfect offering, also perfected forever them that are sanctified. And now, because we have a great high priest, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. I read how he died on that cross and finished the work of redemption, made perfect all that God required, how that he was buried as our scapegoat and arose as our justifier. And when he came forth from the tomb, the heavenly Father spake as if from heaven, saying, I accept all that he did on behalf of all whom he represented, on behalf of all my people, on behalf of all who believe. And the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. The Scripture says, expecting till all his enemies become his footstool. And there he is, the one mediator, the one mediator, the one advocate, the one intercessor between God and men. And that's the man, Christ Jesus. And I read in the Word of God how that he's coming again. Paul said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Yes, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And whatever it took to prepare heaven, I do not know. I do not know what preparation had to be made in heaven. I just know that it's been made. Christ said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How does a man find God? If he wants to, he can. If he has an honest, sincere desire to know the living God, all he has to do is walk out and look, and he'll see the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth forth his handiwork. God is seen in the things that are made. There's no speech or language anywhere on this earth where their voice is not heard. But the man wants to know how a man is saved, and if God can be just and justifier, and if a man can be accepted in the sight of God, and if sin can be put away. Got to go to the Word of God, because the Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And the revealed Word of God, watch it now. The revealed Word of God is given for the purpose of revealing the incarnate Word of God. They're inseparable. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 1, have you noticed this? He's called the Word of God. The Word of God. Now stay with me. What does the word mean? It's words are communication. They're vehicles of thought. Words are means of communicating, to let somebody know what you're thinking. That's what I'm doing right now. Here I'm standing before you. I've got something on my heart. I've got something on my mind. I'm the only one that knows what I have on my heart and mind. I hope God knows, and I hope he revealed it to me. But I want you to know. So how am I going to reveal to you what I'm thinking, what I'm believing, what I'm desiring you to know? You know how I'm going to let you know? Words. Words. Vehicles of thought. Means of communication. Jesus Christ is called the Word of God. The disciples said one day, show us the Father. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. He said, have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. And that's what I'm saying. Jesus Christ is the living, incarnate Word, communication of God Almighty. And all that you need to know about God is found in his Word, the written Word, and in his Word, the incarnate Word. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is God's communication. In 1 John 5, listen, this is the record that God hath given us eternal life. Now, eternal life is not in the stars and the moon and the sun. They declare the power of God and the wisdom of God. But eternal life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now listen to John, 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come into this world and hath given us an understanding, that we may know God. That we may know God. How can a man know God? The Son of God has come into this world and given us an understanding that we may know God that is true, and that we're in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this, John said, is the true God, and this is eternal life. How can a man find God? In Jesus Christ. He is God. The Father said of the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. If a man would, no man hath seen the Father at any time save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So I ask an honest question. Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh, and they said, God said, let my people go. And he said, who is God? Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? I know not the Lord. And there may be people sitting right out there. Who is the living God? Who is the eternal God? Who's the God of creation? I know not the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Would you know the Lord? Would you find God? Then I ask you to turn to Psalm 19 and read it again. And it says plainly there are two books of revelation. There's the book of creation, and there's the book of revelation, the Word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. There is no speech or language where their voice isn't heard. But the Word of God is perfect, infallible, without error, verbally inspired, and it converts the soul. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope through the Word of God.